to our heart. God uses young people. I love that message. I love that story of David and how he stood up in front of his whole community when the men of his community were not willing to stand up and say, hey, God's going to win this. He obeyed God. He believed and trusted in God. He identified that God will be the one who wins. And he did that in front of everyone. We can trust God to deliver. I bring those things up because I want to pray. And I don't know about you, but I've been enjoying what we've been going through, this high five thing. There's a lot of good things to take, right? It's so easy to become complacent with where we're at. It's easy just to sort of coast. We'll be taking communion later today. And I mean, communion is another thing. Like, it's just, man, it's part of our routine. And we can become like the Israelites, and we get bogged down, and we just forget, oh, it's just something we do. But there's depth and there's meaning to these things. And really, it's to focus on God. So won't you pray with me? Father God, thank you for demonstrating love for us. Thank you for taking the first step. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for your word. And God, I just pray for the message that you put on my heart for us to be the church. I just ask that be able to communicate that clearly. And I pray that the things that are your truth will stick and the things that aren't will just fade away. I love you, Jesus, and in your name, amen. Before I begin, I want to invite someone from our church to come and share. I've asked Janessa Bartel to come up and share just a little bit maybe of her story of God using community in her relationship with him.
Since Darren asked me a couple weeks ago to share about how community has helped me grow, I have been thinking a lot about the desire I have to be a part of the community. Since I was young, I felt like I've been part of a community. I grew up in a small town, went to a small church, small youth group, and small school. It was the same small group around me for every event of my life, so I felt safe being in that community. Once I graduated, I needed to find a new community, and that was a scary thing for me. I headed off to Bible college, where community was a big part of what the school prided itself on. The community of friends and mentors I found there kept me accountable and helped me think a little deeper on my faith and issues that I had never thought too seriously about before. I learned that community helps stretch you and encourages you to continually grow in your faith. Since going into what everyone calls the real world, I realized I needed community to feel a sense of belonging. I saw that others around me seemed to be feeling the same way. We were all looking to have a group that we could talk to, feel encouraged by, and just feel loved. I learned that this is very important time to pick the community around you carefully, because the people around you play a big role in your life and the decisions you make. I've especially found that there's a strong desire for community in the young mom stage of life. We've started a mommy group every Wednesday here in the church gym as an outreach for moms to come and be part of a community. More importantly, we want them to come and feel the love of a community of believers. I feel like God has been doing amazing things with the mommy group. We have had over a dozen moms come, half don't attend our church, and about half of those aren't churchgoers at all. The group is a safe place to come and relax and talk about how your week is going while your kids can play and interact with other children. We have short topics each week to keep the conversation flowing, and we make sure everyone has a chance to share their story or opinion. We have a little community growing within our big church community. Please pray that God would continue to lead this group, that we can continue to grow relationships with those coming to mommy group. Overall, community has helped me grow in my faith because I have experienced a feeling of being accountable, a sense of belonging, encouragement, and the love of Jesus through community. When I have received these feelings from community, it gives me a desire to grow the body of Christ so that everyone I know can feel this way.
Thank you. Just wait, Janessa. Can we just pray for you in the mummy group quick? Father, thank you for the giftings that you've given Janessa. I pray that you would just encourage her as she leads this mummy group. And Father, we ultimately recognize that you lead it, so that you would just build it and that you would use it for your glory, Father. And bless those relationships. In your name, amen. Thank you for sharing, Janessa. My story's not the same, but similar in some ways. I started my church journey in the church. I mean, I was probably like a lot of you. I came to church at a young age of probably like 8 days old. And I feel like I was probably at church every Sunday after that. I grew up in the nursery, in the Sunday school. When middle school was started, I started going to youth group and high school. And then at CNC age, I was part of the group there. And I went to a Christian college where church was part of that. I was married in a church. I've spoken my intention publicly on how I'm going to raise my kids in the church and dedicated them when they were very young themselves. I've always had church in my life. My job is in a church. Most Sunday mornings, I'm in church. And one day, I'll breathe my last breath and they'll bring my body into a church for everyone to gather and to say goodbye. Now, your story might sound similar to mine as well. But does it matter? Is church attendance important? What is church involvement important? I'm going to try something just a little different here just to warn you, so don't get upset. Could you just turn next to the person beside you and just say, hey, does church matter? Or maybe you have a thought of why it matters, attendance, or why are you here this morning? Just turn. I'll give you 2 minutes. It will seem like a long time, but I'll give you 2 minutes, okay? One minute left. Just. Well, thank you for doing that. I hope it helped you relax. I want to show you something to encourage you. Well, first, before I do that, I just want to draw your attention to the hand, the high five. I would submit, like Gary's already mentioned this, so I'm kind of just agreeing with him, so don't think I'm that smart. But I would submit that the fellowship one, what we're kind of focusing on today, you can't do really all of the other ones without this one. Like you can read your Bible, you can pray, you can be obedient, and you can do your sharing. Like you can do them without fellowship, but I don't think you can get to the next level in a lot of those things. I really think God's intention in using the church and using community in the way he's designed us, that these things are supposed to be part of that. And I'll show you why. I want to try showing you something, and I hope this works. Slide this over. No, it's a little big, okay? But anyways, I check something out, okay? So I, when getting ready for a message, sometimes I go to the concordance and I check things out, right? And I just went to Bible Gateway, typed in church, and instantly my computer fills up with all these verses. And I just sort of, I went through the whole thing and just looked at it and just sort of listening, praying as I was going through. And man, I was just like, wow, God, I think you have something to say here about your church, about how we are supposed to be the church, how fellowship and community is supposed to look. I really think God has given us more than we need in how to do this. And I'm just going to highlight a few of the things. You can go home, you can do this yourself, and at the end of it, you'll be like, Darren is not that smart. Okay? The first one, I think it's really neat. Okay, first thing that jumped off at me is it's all New Testament references. The word church doesn't come in the Old Testament. I mean, I looked like a community, that happens, a body. There's other words that come up in the Old Testament. Community was a big one that came up quite a few times, especially in the Torah, in the law, in giving instructions on how they were supposed to live, and in the responses of Moses, and just different things like that. But so church, it just sort of limits this search just to the New Testament. So if you think God, this is all he has about for us on community, it's not. He has a lot more than what we're even going to look at today. But the first verse, first reference that comes up is Matthew 16:18. And this is Jesus talking here. And this is the story where Jesus is with his disciples and he's kind of like testing them. Hey, who do you guys, like, what do people think of me? Who do people think I am? You know, and they kind of like, oh, maybe you're a prophet, maybe you're John the Baptist. I don't know. They're kind of confused. You're freaking them out, Jesus, you know, and Jesus is listening. And they've been hanging out with him for a while. And Jesus sort of asks them the question, who do you think I am? And this is where Peter jumps up and he's like, you're the Christ. And Jesus stops him and he's like, you're right. You don't even know what you're claiming completely here, Peter. And he changes his name. He changes his name to Peter. He's like, this is the rock that I'm going to build it on. This truth that I'm the Christ, that this is the cornerstone of what I'm going to build my church on. So I think it's important as we think of community, as we think of Christian communities, as we think of our church, it's Jesus' church. It's not our church. It's not Pastor Gary's church. It's not Rita because she's the charge of the council. You know, like it's not the MB. It's not our history. This is Christ's church. And he's building it. We have an opportunity to be part of that. The next thing that jumped up that I thought was kind of, I want to say sobering, again in Matthew, but it's Jesus instructing them about how do we deal with sin in our church? How do you deal with conflict? When a brother or sister wrongs you, or when you see something wrong in their life, how are we supposed to handle that? And I don't know about you. When I see something wrong in someone else's life, it's so much easier to go talk to someone else. You know? But that's not what Jesus is talking about. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. Man, is that not like, if we're thinking of our church and just the next level, after this is Jesus' church, next level, hey, if there's a problem, go talk face to face with each other about it. Wouldn't that like change things? I really think it would change things. For two reasons. The first reason I think it would change things is if we are having a humble heart, if we're doing it out of compassion, we're clothed in the fruit of the Spirit, we're praying about these things, so we're not just coming up and be like, you messed up, buddy, and I'm here to tell you about it, you know? But we come as brother and sisters in the Lord, and we say, hey, can we meet? Can we talk? I want to just tell you something. And let's just talk this through, because like, I know I don't get the whole story. This is just what I see. But can we talk about this? I think that conversation would actually build relationships. I think it would strengthen relationships. And in our community, our church would, we'd be stronger. We'd get along better. We would know each other a lot better. We wouldn't be afraid of each other, probably. Well, maybe sometimes. To be like, oh, they're coming at me again, you know. But deep in our heart, we might know why. We might appreciate it. When I started going down through the list, the next sort of group of verses, sorry, I can't make it wider, but it's in Acts. And there's this bunch of verses of the church in Acts. And what I saw when I was reading through that, I see God, Jesus, building his church. But I see him doing it in a way that we see God giving solutions to the problems. So what I mean by that is, like, there's a couple, Acts 8, Acts 11, 19, where the church is being persecuted, and they run, right? Because they're being persecuted, and they're like, we got to get out of this town, we got to get out of this city, and the believers run, because the Jewish nation, the Pharisees, they're trying to stop this. They're trying to put a stop to Jesus and his church and his followers. And so they run and they get out of Jerusalem. And you know what happens? They take their faith with them. And they're going on the roads and then they're traveling. And this actually spreads the church. It helps the church grow. So when Jesus says, you know what? The church is going to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all to the ends of the world. This is a catalyst in helping that happen. We found there would be key leaders in jail. They're arrested because they're teaching about Jesus. They're talking about the good news. And God would do a miracle and get them released. He sustains their life when they would get beaten so badly, thinking of Paul, and he would just get beaten up, and God would sustain his life so that he could keep going. Now why would I bring that up? Man, sometimes following Jesus is rough, and it's going to be hard. It's not always easy, and sometimes we need to remind ourselves that this isn't the end goal. This life is not the end goal. We're not here to build our community or build our kingdom, pardon. Another thing that jumped out to me was in how they were encouraging one another. One of the things in Acts, right near the beginning, in Acts chapter 2, you can turn there in your Bible. It's looked at like as this sort of golden era of the church. In chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes. Like Jesus has already ascended back to heaven. And the Holy Spirit comes and Peter gets up and gives this dynamic message. And thousands of people put their trust in Jesus. And they decide to follow him. And the church just grows. And at the end of chapter 2, we get this little glimpse of this, like, beautiful state of the church. In verse 42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Like, isn't that crazy? Like, they sold their property and their possessions, and they shared the money with those in need. Like, what's going on with this church? They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals. It was great joy and generosity. And now I know some of you are thinking, oh, potlucks, this is what we need to be doing. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So it's like this, I don't know, magical Disneyland church here is going on. It's perfect. It's beautiful. But it was just local. It was the beginning. And then that's when the persecution happened, was after that. And the church spread and it went out. The other thing I see when I go through this list, I see people encouraging one another when it's talking about relationships. In 1 Thessalonians, it's a ways down, we're still in Acts there, but in 1 Thessalonians, it brings up this passage of, therefore, encourage one another, building one another up, just in fact as you are doing. So it's identifying that relationship. So it's adding to that the conflict resolution scenario, right? So it's like, oh, I see something, you know. It's adding another layer to it, saying, encourage one another. When you see each other, encourage one another. If this was our church doing that all the time, it'd be a fun place to be. Another thing I see in Hebrews, if we want to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 19, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance of that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. I like that spurring on of one another, because it's an easy thing. Okay, so we got how to deal with conflict. We want to encourage one another, right? Okay, so what's an area we can encourage one another in? In love and good deeds. And finally, not giving up meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more so as we see the day approaching. Do you sometimes forget that the day of Jesus' return is approaching? I do. I get bogged down in my daily routine. And so some of this getting together that we need to be doing is reminding each other, hey, this life, this isn't the final goal here. Jesus is coming back again to restore all things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about caring for each other. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. So that there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. This is really, I just think this is really beautiful. So just think of your body. You stub your toe, it hurts, you stop walking, maybe you turtle, and you're like me, and you cry, but you grab your toe, and so in verse 26, if one part suffers in Christ's body, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with you, or with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Man, this is just the church. This is how our relationships should be with each other. This is what real fellowship should look like. Is that going to happen every morning for every one of us? No. Should that be our goal all the time? I have to have a deep moment? I don't think so. I do think, though, you need to have spots in your life where you have a level of community with believers, where you can be open with one another, where you can have frank dialogue with one another, where people can encourage you, that they can point out sin, but they can encourage you in good works and good deeds. And that when something deep hurts you, they feel that pain. Or when God answers a prayer request that you've been praying for a long time, they rejoice with you. So that's kind of like maybe a small group in your life. It's also that discipleship example that Gary has taught us and used, where we have someone who's ahead of us in our faith, where we have people who are beside us in our faith, and where we have people behind us that we're mentoring them. So it's kind of interesting because God's church is starting to look more than just what happens on Sunday mornings. And it starts to take a look and spin on how we live our life. Lastly, another thing that I saw when I was going through the list is the number of times it talks about gifts and talents being given to the body of Christ, to the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again, talks about just as a body, the one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Do you consider yourself, your role, as part of the body? Your gifts and your talents that you have? Do you ever consider that maybe they've been given to you to be used for the body of Christ? Now, you know this about me, that this is kind of like Darren hitting the gong again. This is one of my favorite things. Gets me excited. But I really hope that you hear the love that's behind that. I don't want to just be a clanging cymbal. But God has given you gifts and talents that He wants to use. Despite your age, whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you're sick or you're healthy, whether you feel shy and withdrawn or you're a little gregarious, He wants to use you where you're at, to be part of His body, a part of His community. Because what you can do, no one else can do. And there is no small role. They're all equal. I really want to encourage us to be the church. And is this something that you just rip the Band-Aid off and it happens? No, I think it's a process. I think it's steps at times. But where's your intimate community of Christ followers? Do you meet with others to read the Word? I don't think we should just be reading the Bible quietly by ourselves. I really think we should have moments where we're reading it together with other believers. What about your prayer life? Are you praying with other people? Are you sharing with other people? Are you serving with others? Are you encouraging others? It's easy to check and ask those questions. And please don't beat yourself up and be like, oh, I'm not doing it, I'm just going to give up. No. It's an invitation. There's an opportunity. Look around you. We're in a room full of people who are like-minded. We don't need a program to say, okay, now if this is you and you're wondering where, we're going to get you to sign your name over here and we're going to... No. Say a small prayer. God, this is your church. Guide me to someone. I just want to talk to someone today. And just say, hey, are you connecting with someone? Are you reading your Bible with people? Can we maybe meet, I don't know, just over coffee and read our Bible together? Let's work through one of the little books of the Bible so our dedication to this isn't long. You know, I don't know. But just start small. The Spirit lives in you, and He is building the church. So I believe that if He's tugging at your heart, because you're part of the body, it's not necessarily so that you can complain, but it's because you're part of the church that He wants to bring action and maybe do something in the church through you. Let's be the church, because Jesus is the head of the church, and we are the body. Ephesians 1:22, and God placed all things, Jesus, under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything of the church. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband, this is going to probably push buttons a little bit, but is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, His body, which is His Savior. And if I can just digress for one moment, in the husband and wife relationship, husbands, our example in how to love our wife is Christ. So when Scripture says that you're the head in your marriage and your relationship, that this isn't a power thing. This is a servant thing. This is a love thing. This is a heart thing. Colossians 1:18, and He, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. So we got this high five. I know in the youth group we've been trying to do some of this and implement that. And we're trying to get the students with Bibles, looking at it each week, reading it. We're also trying to get them into small groups where they're reading it together and they're discussing it and talking about it. The next thing on our agenda is we want to try and get them praying together. Because praying together sometimes, I mean, I don't know, it's intimidating. Sometimes we just have fear towards it. But I really believe that it's part of obedience and following Christ. I believe that sharing and fellowship, man, I think we do the fellowship, we got some sharing happening, but I'm praying that God's going to grow those things and take our youth group to the next level. I'm praying for our church at this high five thing, man, in all areas, that Christ would build it. That in our own individual lives, these things would become more prominent. And that we would grow, that we wouldn't just become comfortable with where we're at. Because it's Jesus' church and He's building it. If I can invite the communion servers to come forward and the worship team, we're going to transition into communion. And